From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the book of Acts with the next portion of a message entitled Barnabas. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled From Anger to Love. The text is found in Micah chapter 7 and verse 19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. God never turns from his love, but he soon turns from his wrath. His love to his chosen is according to his nature. His anger is only according to his office. He loves because he is love. He frowns because it is necessary for our good. He will come back to the place in which his heart rests, namely, his love to his own, and then he will take pity upon our griefs and end them. What a choice promise is this! He will subdue our iniquities. He will conquer them. They cry to enslave us, but the Lord will give us victory over them by his own right hand. Like the Canaanites, they shall be beaten, put under the yoke, and ultimately slain. As for the guilt of our sins, how gloriously is that removed! All their sins, yes, the whole host of them, thou wilt cast. Only an almighty arm could perform such a wonder. Into the depths of the sea, where Pharaoh and his chariots went down, not in the shallows out of which they might be washed up by the tide, but into the depths shall our sins be hurled. They are all gone. They sank into the bottom like a stone. Hallelujah! Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We at Let the Bible Speak pray that the truth of salvation through God's only begotten Son will be your portion at this Christmas season. As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Acts chapter 4, verses 36 and 37 introduces us to one of the most attractive figures in the New Testament, Barnabas. Called the son of consolation by the early Christians, Barnabas embodied many characteristics that made him a leader among believers of the time. Barnabas, according to the scriptures, was a good man who served the Lord selflessly. He was full of faith, a man who rejoiced in the success of the gospel. Also, he was full of the Holy Ghost, not only during special times, but as a way of life. In addition, he maintained a consistent vision of Christ and obeyed God's word. Barnabas exercised a ministry of encouragement, of comfort. He showed confidence in men who were looked upon with some suspicion by others, men such as Paul and John Mark. His message emphasized free grace, sound doctrinal teaching, and full commitment to Christ. Now to continue this message entitled Barnabas, here is Dr. Cairns.
Barnabas was full of faith. How much then did he gaze on Christ? We often think about a glimpse of Christ. Well, that's better than nothing, but Hebrews 12:2 is not talking about a glimpse. It's talking about a steady gaze. How Barnabas must have gazed on Christ. How many hours must he have spent meditating on the person and on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think every one of us, preacher included, will have to confess that one of the hardest things we can be called upon to do is to meditate. We have lost the art of that in the Western world. And that's a tragedy. It's the reason why so many of our young people have been led astray by the Eastern idolatrous heathen religions. Because in Western Christianity, meditation has been lost. We were singing of it this morning in the opening psalm. He doesn't sit in the scorner's chair, but placeth his delight upon God's law and meditates on his law day and night. Oh, Barnabas was a man who gazed continually in Christ, and as he gazed in Christ, opened his heart to obey the word of God. And therefore he was full of faith. Therefore he knew how to plead the promises of God. And therefore he knew how to prove the promises of God. Barnabas, the man. His character, he was good, he was great, he was generous. His consistency, he existed full of the Holy Ghost. His credence, he was full of faith, living in the light of Christ and his word. Now a word about his ministry. We must be very quick here. Barnabas, before we look at his ministry, let me say this. Barnabas was entrusted with a commission by the church before he was actually called of God publicly to serve the Lord. You ever notice that? When I got to noticing that, I realized that's usually the kind of man that God calls. God doesn't normally call a man out of this church to preach to another church who is no manner of use in this church. Now, that makes good sense. I well remember, and I can say this, you know, quite happily. I don't say it boastfully, but I can say it honestly before God. That in all the years of my preaching, I have never asked a congregation to do for me as a pastor and for the Lord under my ministry what I did not personally do as a member of the church when I was listening to the preaching of the Reverend Bertie Cook for years. I well remember I wouldn't do anything in prayer meeting night. I wouldn't undertake anything in prayer meeting night. I wouldn't miss a prayer meeting. I well remember that Sabbath day by Sabbath day, I refused to go and give testimony in another church. Not because I didn't believe in public service, but we had a small church, a struggling church, a church that was having to work hard for everything that it had from God. And I realized I could go to another church and give a testimony. I thought I'd be doing a lot better if I were in my own church and trying to get somebody else there as well. And the Lord honored that stand. And the Lord did bring the people and the Lord did save the people. And I asked people to go out in visitation. I remember doing exactly the same thing. When I tell people to pray, to witness, to stand, my friend, I have been that way as the humblest, meanest member in a congregation. Now I say this to you. If my leaving that little church in a place called Mount Marion in Belfast, if my leaving that little church had not left a hole in the church, if it hadn't left a gap in the prayer meeting, and a gap in the Sunday school, and a gap in the children's work, and a gap in the open air work, and a gap in the visitation work, and a gap in every kind of work, then I wouldn't have been called of God.
And I can honestly say, nothing to boast about, for it should be true of every Christian. I can honestly say, we didn't have a women's meeting, so I can say there was not one single activity of that church that I wasn't absolutely involved in and completely committed to. That came first. Before any other thing under God, that came first. That's the way Barnabas was. And the church, therefore, entrusted jobs to him. They sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when they proved him to be a good man, then God said, that's the man for me. Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul. Now, when God called me, he had a threefold ministry. First, a ministry of encouragement. I'm only going to have time to recite to you. I would need to take a month to preach in Barnabas to preach it to you. For there are so very few people today encourage you. How many Christians do you know whose lives are an encouragement to believers? This man, first of all, his consecration was an encouragement to the church. We read in chapter 4, verse 36 and 37, that he was a Levite of the country of Cyprus, and having land, he sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. You know, when Barnabas got saved, his repentance was complete. The Levites, according to Numbers 18, verse 20, were not to hold any inheritance in the land. As a Levite, he shouldn't have owned any land. Now, true, God did give to the tribe 48 cities in which to live, and around them an area in which to cultivate. But the individual Levite was not to hold land in the country. The Lord was their inheritance. But here was Barnabas, a Levite, and he was holding land. And as soon as he got saved, he sold it, gave it up. But he would say, Lord, could I not hold on to this for my old age? I know, Barnabas, this is something that has to go. And Barnabas, smitten of heart, he gives it all. And he brings every penny and he lays it at the apostles' feet. He held on to nothing. You know, that's the meaning of consecration. Laying everything at the feet of the Lord. And you'll notice that laying everything at the feet of the Lord here was laying everything at the feet of his church, making things available to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a joy and what an encouragement it is when you see people who get saved and theirs is an entire consecration. And every doubtful thing is done away with. They sell out to the Lord. His comfort was an encouragement to the church. I want you to notice that his name was Joseph or Joseph. That was his name. But the apostle said that name does not convey enough. It's a good name. We'll not go into the significance of it this morning. It's a good name. But they said, we'll give him a new name. They surnamed him the Son of Consolation. Or comfort. The word here is used in the New Testament of comfort, of consolation. It's used of entreaty in the place of prayer, and it's used of exhortation. It's a word that's very similar to the name given to the Holy Ghost when he is called the Comforter or the Paraclete, the one who draws alongside to help. Here then is this man. He had a reputation as a giver of comfort. He had a reputation as an exhorter, as an advocate of God's cause. He had a reputation, therefore, as a prophet. Because you couldn't be an exhorter without prophesying. This man, then, was a good man, a great man, whose comfort encouraged the people of God. And then he had confidence. Now, this is a very down-to-earth thing, but I want you to notice it. This man encouraged the church with the confidence that he showed. He had confidence first in Paul. You remember Paul or Saul of Tarsus was saved? And we find that he tried to join himself to the church in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 9, and they were scared of him. They didn't believe he was a true disciple. He was under suspicion. Now, you can't blame them for that. I think they should have gone to the Lord and asked the Lord for his guidance in the matter. But they didn't. But can you just imagine a man who had been wreaking havoc around this congregation, who had been having your loved ones put to the sword or stoned to death, forcing them to curse and swear. And then suddenly he comes and says, I'm a Christian. Would you not think, well, this is a spy? Well, that's what they thought. But Barnabas had confidence in the work of grace in this man's heart. He was a man, therefore, who was in touch with God. He was a man of spiritual discernment. And he had confidence in Saul of Tarsus, and he brought him to the apostles. And I think certainly that confidence was not misplaced. It was Barnabas who went to Tarsus and brought Saul out and gave him a job in the church at Antioch. And at least for 1 year, Saul was the understudy to Barnabas. It was Barnabas who showed that sort of confidence. Now, let me say, that's a small thing. It's a small thing, so you would think. But some of you older Christians, if you would show a little confidence. Now, I don't mean misplaced confidence. I don't mean just well-wishing. But when you see a young Christian and they're going on with God and you see the marks of grace in their life, show a little confidence in them and encourage them along the way. Who knows? Who knows what you'll produce? You always find fault with a young Christian. You always find fault with any Christian. The tragedy is that so many of God's people can do nothing else but find fault. And whatever good thing they have to say about a Christian, there is always a but on the end of it. A little bit of the Barnabas ministry would not be misplaced. And then he had confidence in John Mark. John Mark was a failure. We'll come to deal with him in detail somewhat later in these studies. It's a fascinating study. But John Mark was a failure. He went back from the work. And therefore, when the second missionary journey was starting, Paul said, "We're not taking him with us." Paul was a good Ulster man. I can see the Irish fire in his face. And he says, "We're not taking him with us. Once bitten, twice shy." So, we can understand that. But Barnabas said, "We're taking him." I'll deal with that division in a moment. But Barnabas never lost confidence in John Mark. And it's interesting that John Mark was restored. I'm not saying it was immediately through the instrumentality of Barnabas, although I feel it was. John Mark was restored. Not only was he restored, but the strange thing is, he became a close companion of Paul. And Paul said to Timothy to get John Mark to him, for he is very profitable, useful to me in the ministry. And it's John Mark who was inspired of God to write the second gospel narrative. Sometimes when a believer falls, it's very easy to tramp them into the ground. It's very easy when a young man feels the Lord just to come and get your heel and just grind them right into the dust. It's very easy to cultivate the bitter spirit where even when he has repented, you say, well, there's always a question mark over him. God help us when we get to that terrible, confused, carnal and unspiritual sort of mind. And yet that is the mind that is so rampant among God's people. Ah, you see him. Look, I could name you a man of God today. Let me be perfectly frank. I could bring you to a man of God today. He's a good man. For 20 years, 25 years probably, he has maintained a good testimony and he's taken a good stand. But as a young man, he fell into sin. He was a Christian. He fell into sin. And with bitterness of heart, he lamented his sin and he repented and God forgave him. And as I say, for a quarter of a century, he has maintained a good testimony for God. And yet I can bring you to the church where his father was the pastor. And from that moment until this moment, there are people and they say, yes, he's all right, but... What? I want to tell you the bigger sin. The bigger sin by a million, million miles is the sin of the people who are so full of the but. Barnabas was a man with confidence. What an encouragement that was. What an encouragement it is. When a man comes to hold you up when you're weak. When a man will pray you through when you feel you're falling. What an encouragement it is to have a man like Barnabas. The ministry of encouragement. He had the ministry of evangelism. He was called with Paul. He was a great pioneer missionary. He gave his whole life to the itinerant work of evangelism. And he had, of course, the ministry of edification or establishment. The purpose of the second missionary journey was indeed just to establish the people who had been saved. An awful lot of truth there that evangelists today would do well to learn. Nowadays, it seems all you've got to do is get people to pray the magic prayer, and once they've said the magic words, just leave them there, and you don't lead them on at all. I believe there should be preparation. There should be gospel preaching. There should be conviction of sin. Let a person come to Christ, certainly, but then, after that, they should be edified and established in the word and work of God. His was a ministry of edification and establishment.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.